And good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome, 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 dear listeners, wherever you find yourself. This is your brand conversation on your number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Yes, guys, I sound like I'm busy singing to you, but the theatrics aside, this is where you find yourself, and this is where we bring you the in-depth discussions. Now, we ended off with the negativity, the bad aspect of the scarcity marketing discussion, because scarcity marketing has a bad side to it. Scarcity marketing actually produced the aggression that we've seen. And remember, scarcity marketing was about signaling to a consumer about saying, hey, listen, something is in limited supply. Something is in short supply. Get it while it still is in the shops, and it's also on a discounted price. Or it's in abundance, but the stock needs to move. Get it on a discounted price. We need to get the new stock in. Now, we've done what scarcity marketing is. We've done the bad side of scarcity marketing. Now, we're ending off on what you as a marketer should not repeat. Mistakes that should not be repeated ever. Now, it's key to note here, guys, because scarcity marketing is a very crucial thing in actually keeping, you know, business activity going for your business. Functions in terms of revenue, well, it's in its most basic format, it's all about keeping the revenue going. Now, please understand, guys, since I shared with you what scarcity marketing is for some of us that are marketers, that are in the creative field, that are, you know, in the advertising field. For those of us that have a sense of scarcity marketing or know how to, you know, work with the calendar in order to understand where you can position sales periods or even just discounted sales periods for your consumers and customers, there is one thing that you need to understand in terms of what you should not do or should not repeat in terms of the mistakes of scarcity marketing. Now, this is where you, as a marketer, should take note of these following discussion points. Now, I've only toned them down to like six scarcity marketing functions, but with yesterday's aggression or aggressiveness or perceived threat discussion with regards to, you know, the bad side of scarcity marketing or scarcity marketing, is that if you see that this communication or the advertising of it works, if you see it works, please, as a marketer, do not use it too many times. Because if you use it one too many times, people will get, you know, the customer will just become bored by your messaging. Now, if you see in one scenario where, let's for example say you decided to walk into a shop or into a store and you find a pair of shoes that have been labeled as being limited editions or they are the last in stock, and you are aware of this budget, of this sale, you're aware of it, so you decide to buy it. Now the next month you come back and you walk into the same shop and you see the same shoes there, and they're also once again tagged or labeled as being special edition or limited editions with the same pricing again, and in between the price went back up. You're going to start doubting whether or not the shop or the business is being genuine or whether they're being authentic in their marketing. Because you're going to ask them, yeah, but last month they were the same price. The price went back up again and you're bringing it to the same price again. So you start, firstly, there's two scenarios that are going to happen here if a marketer uses the same thing too many times. So you as the customer, you will start saying, okay, if you are discounting the price, is it to say that we should be thankful as a customer to you, the shop, that you are discounting it? or do you genuinely want to discount it, sort of to say, you know, it's affordable. It's affordable in that regard. Because if you as a customer come back and you see that, you know, it's standing at 100, let's say, for example, there's this dog food that I buy every month for my dogs. But this specific brand is continuously or has been continuously being discounted for the past 2 years. I kid you not, guys. I kid you not. For any of you that are pet owners, especially dog owners, you would know of the specific brand Bobtail. Bobtail. So Bobtail since 2020 has been discounted. So they discount it, you buy. Then just 2 weeks after that discount, they revert back to the original price. Then you go like, ooh, it's too much. But you know, what you bought was enough for you and your dogs. Was enough for the dogs to live on, you know? It was sufficient because you can space it out. Then they discount it back. And then you come back and you buy another bag. And then they revert back to the original pricing. But every time they revert back, guys, they make the price more, 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 more. Every time. It's now currently standing at one of the prices. Its original pricing was standing at 200 and something. For anyone that is a dog owner, and you would have seen this 8 kilogram or 8.5 kilogram for dog food. And they would consistently bounce between 145, 150, 165, 172 is the highest discount they've gone now. And if they revert back to the original price, it's 200. Now, you as a customer would continuously say, why don't you keep it at one or the two prices, right? Why are you continuously discounting and reverting? Discounting, reverting. Discounting, reverting. Discounting, reverting. Because all you're doing now and telling the customer, and this is now coming from me, a neutral observer, someone that's now just being objective, what you're currently now doing is you are causing a sort of predictable reaction every time. Every time you revert back to the price, customers won't buy. Every time you discount the price, customers buy. Because the customers will wait. They will wait you out. They are going to play the patient game with you. And that's what happens when you are using one too many times this specific scarcity marketing component, putting on a discount, saying it's limited stock. Now, I gave you the example of dog food because in some cases, dog food would not be priced or tagged as being limited availability sometimes. The other notion is, obviously, when you weigh up your options, like alternative shopping options towards what a store or shop wants you to believe is the last available stock of an item. If they tell you, yeah, this is the last stock before new stock can come in, so we're giving it to you on a discounted price only for this period, clearance sale. But then you look at the product and you go like, but that product doesn't sit too right with me. Then you find an alternative that's way cheaper than it and you decide to buy it. And you buy more of that alternative. That's even worse in terms of how the marketer wanted to factor or measure or position this specific product to you in the advertisings or in the marketing promotions. Now, understand, guys. When a marketer overuses the scarcity principle in their marketing or in their advertising exercises, customers are not dumb. We are not dumb. You and I, we're not dumb. We're awake. We actually read the pamphlet. We actually take a look at those inserts, those inlets, those promotional plan pamphlets you would find in your newspapers, that you find at the entrance of the shops. You actually take a look at it. What is actually happening right now is, and I'm going to talk about this in our sessions coming in terms of reverting back to what consumers do, bargain hunting. I'm going to talk about that because I've seen so many consumers and shoppers currently that are bargain hunting everywhere. Everywhere they are bargain hunting. Guys, do you know how price sensitive we have become? We are bargain hunt. We don't care if products are now labeled as limited editions, unique editions of this product. You don't care. You are now looking for anything that looks like a special. You want to be in the special category. That's it. Now, if a marketer makes use one too many times of scarcity marketing, customers will not become dumb. The customers are actually not dumb. They come there with a budget. They spend in that budget. Very few customers, okay, if you're a guy, especially us men, we have a propensity, you know, to go like, ooh, I wanted that. Ooh, I wanted this. Yeah, I forgot about that. And then you find out you've actually, you know, in some cases overspent on your budget. But if you're really someone that practices budgeting in your shopping, you will stick to your budget. You know, you would not care if something is limited edition. You would not care. Now, when a customer sees through what a marketer does, especially with a scarcity marketing principle, it loses its value. The exercise loses the potential to have an impact. The exercise loses the ability to actually convert or to supplement revenue for the business. So, if you're a marketer out there, you've never made use of the scarcity marketing principle, whatever you do, use it very seldomly, on very few occasions. So you need to hide your marketing activity somewhat. You need to be visible, obvious, but you also need to hide the exercises that you implement in your marketing projects. Because you have, look guys, as a marketer, you are actually coercing. You're coercing, not coaxing, you are coercing the customer, the consumer. You're coercing them to buy more and more and more and more. The second mistake that marketers love to commit in the scarcity marketing principle or the overall discussion of it is when you pitch the exclusivity component too much. Oh my goodness, guys. Oh my goodness. When an advertiser or an advertising company comes and uses the words exclusivity, guys, as consumers and also as fellow marketers, we have to be very careful with this exclusivity thing. You see, there's only a handful of products that you can actually claim that people can exclusively own or gain access to or exclusively receive delivery from. For example, say, if I said, you know, if it was one of 10 Koenigsegg supercars that were made. Koenigseggs. A Koenigsegg is a supercar. If you just mention the name Koenigsegg or Bugatti or Lamborghini. Yeah, that's the car that I forgot about. Lamborghini, or you say Ferrari, or you say Audi TT or the Audi R8. Anything that looks like a supercar. Not a hypercar. A hypercar is another class. Anything that looks like a supercar. Please. That is exclusivity. Because supercars, they make them in limited numbers. Or if it was, for example, you got a specially designed jacket, let's say from YSL, from Yves Saint Laurent. Or you got a specially made or limited edition suit made by Gucci. Or you got a specifically made watch, one of 10 or one of 20, made by Tag Heuer, or made by Rolex, or made by Patek Philippe. Please. Then you can talk about exclusivity. Then you can talk about exclusivity. Or if you're an estate agent and you're selling 10 properties, pre-built properties, and you're also signing away the title deed in the price, that is a sense of exclusivity. But if you come with me, if you come to me and you're telling me that there is exclusive milk or exclusive sneakers, Nike sneakers, or exclusive, what's the other thing's name? iPhones. Or how can you attach the label of exclusivity to something which you know is being mass produced? Now, when a marketer throws the word exclusivity around a lot, it becomes counterproductive. It really does. Because the more you emphasize an exclusivity component. Now, I've already mentioned to you the types of products that can have an exclusivity element to it. Firstly, the price will speak for itself. All those items that I mentioned, this price will speak for itself. Secondly, on the opposite spectrum, when a marketer throws around the word exclusive too much, it actually signals to the consumer that it's not really that exclusive. It's not really that pricey. It isn't. Because if a product is truly exclusive, it announces it by itself, as I mentioned. Price. The quantity. You can see by that quantity, the design, or the name, the brand name. You would see from it its value proposition and its product description. You would read it yourself. You're a customer. You would know what you're buying into because you want to understand what am I buying into. However, if you had to take a look, for an example, one of the other examples I also want to factor in before the ad break is that Hermès, the clothing brand. I know I'm saying the name incorrectly because it's a French name, but it's actually supposed to be Hermès. One of the way, but Hermes, which is known that it produces an exclusive clothing products, and its marketing angle doesn't come from that standpoint. It truly doesn't. Its marketing angle, guys, does not come from the exclusivity perspective. Now, from how valuable and how durable it can be, this also amplifies over time. Along with the limited units in each production cycle, you are able to recognize as a customer that a bag, a handbag, a jacket, a suit, a pair of shoes, a shirt is an exclusive item because they were made in a specific calendar year. For example, like with wine, you would know that a specific grape, a specific vineyard, a specific grape producer was involved in producing this bottle of wine. I mean, they're explaining it on the label. You would also see it with the price tag associated to it.
Gusa etokoro lyo uhunga. Lipoperanya moge, popera wakweni. Ninka wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba. Wakurugane yowamba, oweno urugansi sungumi. Moktura moe hundiro lye yowamba zuma okoko, dimo gwana kuma pukuru gomanzi. Tumako WhatsApp kwa nomoro zoe utantandatu zime, ntatu utantane, mbali ntambali, mbali ntane. Ndidingura kwa Facebook kwa VMMC Namibia.
Hello Namibia, welcome to the world of Lela Pay. Lela Pay is an easy-to-use payment and booking mobile app that allows you to send out classified adverts or messages to your consumers and have them published in real time. What can you do on Lela Pay? Place classified adverts and messages on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay app, and place adverts in the Villager and many more vendors. You can also make payments. One can place messages of any events, including promotion, invitations, birthday wishes, funeral notices, and any announcement you wish to announce on a national level, starting from $3.50 per message. So, how does it work? Download Lela Pay app and open the app. Step 1. Register an account for free and log in to your account. Step 2. Go to your wallet balance and fund your account by filling in the required details. Step 3. Once registered, go to the vendor icons and select a vendor of your choice, Eagle FM or the Villager. Step 4. Schedule your message. Type it out and press send. Step 5. Once sent, your message or advert will shortly get published on the Eagle FM app, Imba app, Lela Pay, or the Villager newspaper. You also have the option to submit artworks for your adverts. Send these to digital@omalaiti.com and they will be published shortly. To be added onto the vendor list, contact us at 081-203-9633 or 083-288-400 or simply email us at digital@omalaiti.com. Lela Pay. Download it today. Available in the App Store and Google Play.
Now, coming back from our extended break, the idea, guys, with regards to overemphasizing on the exclusivity component of a product, look, it will fail immediately. It also depends on the type of business that you are. For example, let me put this to you. If you were a retailer, for example, like ShopRite, you can't claim a product as exclusive. You can't. Because ShopRite has so many outlets. ShopRite tries to maximize its coverage, its market coverage, by having as many outlets as possible through the country. So you can't claim exclusivity. You cannot. If you were one shop, let's for example say in the region, another shop in another region in the country, and another shop in another region of the country, and you only have three shops of its kind in the country, you can claim exclusivity because you would have limited stock levels at each of these stores for the same product. And then it's a question of the type of product that you're selling. Now, the scarcity marketing principle, if it talks about exclusivity of a product or it being exclusive, you can also factor in that you're the only shop that carries this specific good or the specific product. Let's, for example, say you were a jeweler. You sold jewelry, you know. Well, jewelry includes anything from necklaces to pendants to bracelets to watches to rings to earrings to cufflinks to what else is there? To precious stones or gems. You sold them. And that you can also, as a jeweler, you can also do refittings, resizes, as well as also fix and also do, put in batteries for watches. Now, if you're a jeweler, you're one of a kind. You're an exclusive entity. And if you've got a distribution license to sell Bulgari watches, yes, Bulgari watches, you would claim exclusivity for it. Which is true, guys. Just like in Namibia, there's only one company or one shop here in the capital that sells Rolex watches. It's not that it's not just the pricing that gets you, that puts you off, that will put you off. Because at one stage, the cheapest one was at $60,000 Namibian dollars. Yes, that was the cheapest, guys. It was a woman's watch, even. Woman's Rolex watch. $60,000, the cheapest. So, we also have to factor in how it gets distributed and where. How and where. And then the kind of product it is. The kind of business that you, as a marketer, are also part of. You also can't say that petrol or diesel is exclusive. I know, it's been the single most impactful items in the Namibian economy for everyone's lives, but they're not exclusive because from Namcor, who has its own retail division, to the various other established fueling stations in the country and their brands and the brands of these fueling stations, It's a retail good. It's a commodity, yes, but it's a retail good. It's almost available to everyone. Everyone can buy petrol and diesel. Everyone. So, just a little bit of word and advice for you as a marketer. Instead of marketing from the angle of exclusivity, try to focus a lot more on the quantity in stock and for how long it will be available. You know, make use of limited time offers or put a countdown timer there. Or indicate that this is limited stock availability. That will sell a lot more, or it will sell across a lot better to a consumer and a customer. Because a consumer and a customer will still say, I need to get some of the stock before it reverts back or they replenish the stock levels. In our third discussion, this one takes an interesting point. And this is a mistake that marketers also commit a lot when it comes to the scarcity marketing principle, where the products actually fail to deliver. Now, let's, for example, say you as a marketer successfully integrated the scarcity marketing principle into your sales strategy, and it's working. Consumers and customers are buying. They were convinced by the marketing promotion. Now, the sales have gone up and the product is almost truly out of stock. Because remember, guys, this is about getting a product to sell. Some products would sell automatically on their own or by themselves. No marketing sometimes would be needed, just some support marketing. And then you get those products that just don't move. The thing has been sitting there for 2 months now. No one is touching it, or it's barely being bought. So you decide to implement a marketing strategy and advertising strategy that includes the scarcity principle. Now the product is moving. People are buying it. Now they're buying it. They're buying it. Buying it. They're stocking up. Customers are stocking. You know, daily sales activities almost every hour. Someone is buying from the product. Then you start strategizing on how to introduce an advanced level of scarcity marketing. Now remember, you already introduced something as a promotion to get the product to sell. So this would in most cases it would be a discounted price. It would be a discounted price. Sometimes it would be a combination or a combined price pricing structure. You know, when we've all seen how some retailers are now packaging combos together. So you whereas you used to buy things separately on their own, now you have to cluster them together in order to enjoy a specific kind of pricing for this combination or this combination of products. So now in most cases, it would be a discount, a direct discount on the product's original sales price. So now you've got a discount running and the price, the product is now moving. Now you want to counter that by making it, by trying to sell even more of the product by indicating now there's limited stock, try and get it on this limited stock offer. But the question that a marketer would fail to ask themselves is, have you ever stopped to think about what a customer would think about the product? Now, if you bought an item, guys, that was advertised as quality and it is limited in a limited quantity or available for a limited time frame, and then you realize that this product is actually completely the opposite. There is no quality to it. There is no value that you can extract from it when using it, the product as a customer. Now, this sometimes also happens when the company or the shop itself invested into stock that is just not transferring that element of return on investment. Return on investment is where the customer, the shop bought the stock, came back, is now shelving it or stocking it onto the shelves, and the shop just realizes, oh my goodness, but this product is not moving. No one is buying it. No one is interested. Now you bring in the discount, people are now starting to buy it, but then you notice that purchasing activity, buying activity on this product is declining. Because as a marketer, some marketers, we would just be going like, okay, fine, at least people are still buying the product. They're still buying it on its discounted price, so we need to be happy. But the activity is not as energetic as at the beginning. And it's just trickling down even further. If you look at the sales figures, you just notice it's trickling down even further. It's, you know, it's starting to dip seriously. Now, at this point, where we as marketers sometimes fall out or fail is that we don't go and ask the customers to participate in a short opinion poll about specific products and also about service provision. We don't ask those things. We don't. We do not ask these things. For example, for all of us who have Facebook accounts, Facebook is now currently asking us, or because I saw it this morning and yesterday and I keep ignoring it, they're asking us to participate in a short poll. They're asking you to participate in a short poll. A poll is a customer service poll and a customer service survey. The first thing is, you don't want to participate in it. There might be things that would be disappointing for you that you don't like about the product that you're using, but you won't be making use of it. So, as marketers, you have the opportunity to speak directly to customers and ask them, hey, listen, what do you think about the product that we just had on discount? This would immensely help, but they're not doing that. I see there's a caller trying to get through. Let's get them in. Well, apologies for that, guys. However, just where we left off. Now, the customer wants to know, oh, not the customer, the marketer wants to know, why are things slowing down in terms of the purchasing activity on the product? Why? If you go and ask them, some customers will tell you, yeah, we found out that that product is not actually to our liking. The product doesn't perform up to the promotions that you are running, that it says that it was a quality product, or the product didn't taste nice when we had to consume it, or in actual fact, we suffered a little bit of wastage with the product, you know, it was just going to waste when we bought it. And this kind of feedback, guys, will negatively impact any scarcity principle marketing that you've got going. It will. It does. It always impacts in a direct way. Now, understand, some cases, some shop owners, some entrepreneurs, some one-man, one-woman business ventures, you would be selling more than one product. But there will always be that one product that just does not perform. It doesn't. It cannot perform. There's no way it performs. There's nothing you can do. It's just standing still. It's just standing still. There's nothing you can do, guys. The best course of action that you have is when you say, okay, listen, let me discount it directly so the people can buy it. Quality. Customers sometimes would not worry about the quality. If it's a product they will appreciate, they will buy it. If they say they, if they see there's quality in the product and you revert back to original pricing, they won't care. They will still continue buying it because they were convinced by the value proposition that the product provided. But if the product has no value in it, or actually was lying about its value proposition, it's a direct knock that you suffer. You, the entrepreneur. You, the one man, one woman show. You, the business owner. You will suffer directly. I'll give you an example. And this is the best example. And it's not even where you have to look at value proposition. In some of the shops here in Namibia, especially in the capital, they import these funny cool drinks. You might, guys might have seen it. Like Coke Vanilla or Raspberry Coke flavors. And you see it at some outlets, some shop outlets. I think you guys have seen it. Have you ever seen how much a 300ml Coke of vanilla Coke costs? And it's an imported Coke. It's not made in Namibia. It's not made in South Africa. It's imported from somewhere else. It's an imported can of Coke. A can of Coke that costs you 30 Namibian dollars. Now, please tell me, guys, where, in what way will you get value from buying a 30 Namibian dollar can of Coke? Then you can just as well go to any of Namibia's restaurants or to the hotels, and then you can go and buy a regular can of Coke. A regular can of Coke. There's not even Coke Zero or any of the other, you know, sugarless variations of soft drinks. Just the regular ones. Now, this is Coke Vanilla or Vanilla Coke that I'm talking about, and Raspberry Coke flavor. It costs you $13 million. What value proposition is there? What proposition about saying it's quality that you wouldn't want to buy in there? And here's the thing. Those products don't move. They don't move. They don't move, guys. And this is one of the downsides to specific products that you'll be selling. Why? 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 There is no value proposition in that. And I know I'm going small. I went very small because it's a can of Coke. But I had to show you the difference. I had to show you an example. Where's the value? Even if the store discounts that cool drink, it would still be too much as opposed to the regular flavor of the cool drink that is made here. It would still be too much. What value would still be in there for you? Even they discount it by a whole 10 Namibian dollars and they bring it down to 20, you would still tell the retailer, but a regular can of Coke is still 10 bucks or just below 10 bucks. Why would I want to buy an imported flavor of Coke for $20? Why? Then I can just buy the whole 2 liter. That's more value. There's more value in that option. Because the principle of the scarcity marketing scenario sometimes, and guys, this gets applied almost everywhere. It gets applied almost everywhere. If you have a look at if you've ever browsed through some of our shops and stores, the scarcity marketing principle gets applied almost everywhere. Now, you've got to note that with regards to the value proposition aspect, when customers realize that the product is just not conveying that value, when it's just not providing the said value that you were advertising it to have, is noting that the scarcity marketing is not an avenue to push out the worst items in your store. It's not. It is not that avenue. In actual fact, you, even if you're a retailer or even if you're a trader, you really want all products in your shop to sell. They don't have to sell evenly, but you should be able to make money from each product category that you stock in your shop, in your business. You should be able to make money from each component. But this, once again, is where the scarcity marketing principle is being not misconstrued, it's misunderstood. Of scarcity marketing is not a mechanism for you to get rid of the bad stock in your business. Do not apply it to that. You will actually suffer you'll suffer negative brand recognition and negative brand impact. You will suffer it. There's no way of avoiding it because you will suffer it if you implement it in a way of getting rid of bad stock. You can at least use it for old stock, but old stock that you will not buy into again. It gets us into our next discussion, that of the pushy sales tactics. Now, this is something I've ever actually seen from people who don't understand the field of sales. I still learn from sales on a daily basis, because each realm of sales has its own approach, has its own discipline that you've got to apply, and there's a specific way of doing business with the customer, or actually meeting or engaging with the customer. Now, in some cases, guys, from my own sales experience, there was always a pushy sales perspective that some of the colleagues that I used to work with used to have. And if you had to look at the general operation of how sales activity was supposed to take place, you need to have, you know, clear communication by a customer saying, yes, I accept the cost that you give me and I want to pay now. In some cases, you had salespeople that will generate quotes, issue the quotes in terms of completed sales orders. And the unfortunate thing is at the end, the customer says, I don't have money for this order. And if you understand your company's or your business's internal sales operations in terms of how, you know, the mechanisms are in place in order to translate through to your financing, to your finance department, so that they can tally up that the sales for the day needs to tally up with the amount of money that had been collected from this activity. Some salespeople just ignore the whole process. Now, please understand, guys, in sales, you've actually got an ecosystem that functions. It's not to say that the sales department is on its own, the rest of the company is on its own. There's no such thing. You've got a procurement department that needs to buy the stock, store it in the warehouse, line it up into the inventory tallying system so that the sales force can see, okay, so we have stock on these items, on these products. We stock them. We've got them in warehouse. We've got them in storage. Customers come in the front. Then the customer says, I want this because you advertised this product. Then the customer says, then the sales force representative would say, for sure. That means you have the money. Do you want to pay for it now? Do you want to pay for it later on when you come back and pay for it? Depends on what exchange takes place there. In some cases, the pushy sales tactic does not work. The key to scarcity marketing is not to sound like a salesy person. Yes, I just sort of like overemphasized it. You should not sound salesy. When you have a discount on something, on a product, let the discount speak for itself. Market the discount. Overemphasize it in your marketing. Not from your salespeople. Not from your salespeople. You see, guys, when you have marketing and advertising, it's a mechanism to support the sales function. The salespeople are just there to say, yes, we have stock. Would you like to pay for it now? Or do you want to come back later and buy it? Or there is no more stock of this product, but we do have an alternative that can function as this similar product that you wanted. How about I upsell you? That is the role of your salespeople. They are there to convert sales calls into sales. That's the role. They're not there to take the marketing exercise of the discount and say, hi, come buy X percentage of it. For sure, this is a good deal. It's a good product. Take it now. Let the discount speak for itself. Let the marketing exercise, the advertising exercise, speak to that product. You as a salesperson or as a sales force, you need to concentrate on selling the other products. Sell the other products that have been making you money all along. Sell the other products. If assistance is needed, be on hand to assist the client. If not, go do the rest. Go do the other functions of your job. Now, the question then comes in, how do you influence prospects' perceptions of your product to subtly compel the buying decision they have to make? The prospect obviously being the customer, the would-be customer, the would-be consumer. Now, before we continue with this specific point, we're going to step into a short ad break. From the ad break, we're going to come right back, heading into the last leg of today's program here on the number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. Stay tuned for the rest of the brand conversation.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Speak your mind while respecting the opinions of others.
How can you say Namibia was brought on a silver platter when so many people were massacred?
No, that's not what I mean. Mm-hmm. I mean on the silver platter.
In terms of the infrastructure.
Of the infrastructure. Mm-hmm. You know, there were schools, there were roads, there were...
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
To grab that victory against Ivory Coast will be a big one for us. It will be the first...
For social position to raise a child. What does that mean? Baby dumping.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
The commanders say hold fire, they hold fire. When the commander says fire, they fire. You know, they are trained to kill. We are trained to arrest people and bring them before court.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
That's why some of us wear unbranded clothes. Because it's about selling their product.
So talk on Eagle FM. Eagle FM, the eye.
Now, where we left off, guys, is the sales component. The sales team itself, they need to work on their own stuff. Because as a customer, the fastest way for a person to lose interest in a product is when you are pushed too hard. Especially if you can read that there is a discount on a specific product. Especially if you can see that there is already some sort of marketing activity happening around a specific product. You might not have come for that product, because your interest is in a different products or different, goods that you want to buy. Now, there's also a very thin line between selling and pushing a product on a customer. Pushing a product on a customer always leaves the customer with a very bad impression of your sales force. Because if you see a product discount available for a window, you obviously don't want to see the same ad 7 times a day, right? Now, a nudge or a reminder truly also helps to ignite the feeling left out of the scenario. They call it FOMO, but it's the fear of being left out. It's the fear of being left out feeling. But when you constantly harass your customers with reminders, it makes you look desperate and the offer quite fake. It actually impacts the impression of the offer itself. Now, I have met very pushy very pushy sales personnel here in Windhoek. In some cases, it was a bit overbearing because do not, you should not, as a customer, guys, as a customer, you should not be pushed into a sale. You should not. Because you have to factor up the value proposition that you would benefit, that you would be able to derive from this business. Now, whenever you get the urge to send another reminder to a customer, think about it five times, especially you, the marketer. Especially you, the marketer. Now, in some cases, the latest communication platforms allow us to send emails or to communicate customers directly. This can either be from the email, example, to telephonic, or even in other platforms. You know? Now, if you try selling the scarcity or rarity of a product in a non-pushy way, this can help. This can help. Look, that's why I explained to you the example of you walking to a shop and you already see that there's a discount for a specific product. You already see it. But you and I know you were not there for that discount. If you were there for that discount, you would have actively followed the social media platforms of some businesses or shops, or you would have held onto a pamphlet where it signaled this specific discount. It would have. Then you go and you actively pursue that specific product for that price. But sometimes that's not how we think, guys. That's really not how we think. We walk into the shop, we've got a different objective to achieve. We buy the product we want to buy. But now a salesperson comes up to you and says, "Hi sir, would you be interested in trying this new product of ours?" You didn't come there to try products. You came there to buy a totally different product, stay to your budget, and then move on. I know I gave you a very simplistic example also there, but this is also sometimes what happens. This is also sometimes what happens. It might be products that you actually don't buy much because you don't see a need for them in your everyday life and use. You just don't use the product. Now, the best sales pitch is one that doesn't feel like a sales pitch at all. I won't share some of my own ways of how I used to do sales pitches because I had a very clear understanding of what to do. The idea was not to convert a sale there. Because if you did a sale there, then what was the purpose of you having an office to begin with? Right? Then you could have sold from anywhere, from the comfort of your house, or even from the bath, or from the shower, or, you know, from a lodge, or from the farm, or from the village. So, the best sales pitch, just as a little bit of advice to some of the marketing colleagues out there, you should not make it sound like a sales pitch, but also don't make it sound boring. Also, don't be boring and don't be too obvious. This then leads us into our last two components of the biggest mistakes that marketers make with regards to the scarcity principle marketing. The scarcity principle marketing is key because the first one is extending the deal. Now remember, you are already telling the customer there's limited stock availability. It's only available for this limited time frame, meaning between today and tomorrow or between this hour to this hour. And you as a business or as a marketer, you decide to extend the deal. Do you know what that signals to a customer? It tells a customer, so this thing is not scarce. There's not a limited quantity of this thing. Then why did you have a sales? Why did you have a whole marketing campaign for it in the first place? Indicating in that perspective that it's scarce. Why? Why did you go through all that effort from the beginning, marketing it from this perspective? Or from this specific point of departure. Now, if sales are going great with a scarcity marketing campaign, it is always tempting to extend the deal. It is. Now, that's also the opposite spectrum. Sometimes, the things are not being sold and then the marketer decides, let's extend the deal, the window for the deal. Sometimes, the sales activity is just too good. And then the marketer goes like, okay, let's extend it even further. Now, the consumer is not, the consumer is not dumb. In most cases, we are not dumb as consumers, all of us. We realize if you said that the specific sales period or the discounted period is between Monday to Wednesday, and we come back on Wednesday and you see that it says it has now been extended to the Friday. Customers are going to ask them, now why did we rush? Why were we being rushed to buy this thing? Why were we being enticed or convinced to buy it now? Because there's a limited stock availability for it. Why were we being rushed to begin with? And this specific point is sometimes what has a negative impact on the marketing activity. Because if you come back with another scarcity marketing principle, especially for a good or for a product that's standing there too long in your shop, and you say limited time offer only, people will go like, ah, last time you lied. Last time you said it was available for only these 2 days, but then we saw you extending the time frame. So that means one of two things. Either the product is not in limited supply, or secondly, the product is just not that good enough, meaning some people know about this product and they're just not telling us out of kind-heartedness for whatever reason. They're not telling the rest of the market this product is not good enough. Don't buy it. That's what it signals to consumers. That's what consumers see. Now, before you execute the scarcity principle in extending a deal, now, remember, before you execute it with the first initiation of this discounted deal period, take time to really think and understand your audience, to really think and understand your consumer or your customer base, to really assess, will this help the overall operation going ahead? Because you've got to understand what makes them react positively and negatively. This has got to be your market intelligence as a marketer. And also before you launch, plan your timelines, discounts and availability before you run the campaign. You've got to know. You've got to know for how long you've got to keep this up. Because if you can, create a roadmap that helps to guide you throughout the campaign. Check and cross-check before launching. And once you are live, the slightest change to the campaign can ruin the whole plan. Understand this. Lastly, and that's where we end off just before end of the program for today. The last point that marketers make with regard to mistakes, or the last mistake that marketers make with regards to not towards the scarcity principle, is when you don't take or when you tell customers not to take one product at a time. Remember yesterday where I mentioned in the aggressive talk, or where the scarcity marketing principle generates the aggression from consumers towards their fellow consumers when they come to buy. And this was predominantly witnessed during the Black Friday sales periods, because Black Friday is coming up in 2 months from now, in November, where the aggression scenario was always where the businesses or the shops would say one item per customer. Now, when you have a scarcity marketing principle, or you are initiating a scarcity marketing principle in your overall sales strategy or your discount strategy, don't tell customers that they can only take one at a time. Please, guys, whatever you do, don't think you own the right to tell a customer what they can and cannot do if they are standing there with the money in front of you. Remember I gave you the example of now a liter of milk that used to cost $20 is now costing $10, and a customer shows up there with $100. They want 1 liters of milk. They want 1 liters of milk. If you come and tell them one product per customer, the customer tell you, okay, so you don't value my money, so buy. I'll take my money somewhere else, where at least I will go and pay full price and enjoy the full price valued product. And then what happens? You will still be sitting with that same amount of stock of milk because you were limiting the customer. You were limiting the customer. Whatever you do, do not limit the customer. If you're going to give them a good deal, don't limit them because it's a bad idea from the get-go. And here's why. Not only does it make your messaging sound too flimsy, but your offer and your product also lose the value in the eyes of the customer. If they see it, guys, don't tell them that they are limited. Now, when it was full price, you didn't limit them. But now that it's on a discounted price, you want to limit people. Don't limit people. Your scarcity marketing principle won't have the necessary impact or effect. Do not limit your customers. Now, it does bring us up to the end of today's program here on The Brand Conversation on your number one talk radio station, Afikil FM. Do stay tuned as the On The Radar team are about to make their entrance. They are ready, willing and able to bring you your discussion points. Do stay tuned for your regular programming throughout the course of the day. And you can catch me later on today on the Business and Economic Zone, later tonight, starting from 6:30, here on the number one talk radio station of Eagle FM. On that note, do stay tuned.